This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
The Manhattans with Kiss and Say Goodbye, one of the biggest hits in 1976 when it was released as the B-side of their single that year. It should have been Sanders supporters' theme song at the Democratic National Convention after his speech last night, and there is more to come tonight that is even more devastating. So now there is no further need to ask, what would Bernie do? In the heat of the day in Philly yesterday, Bernie Sanders went fishing for votes for Hillary. Sanders' primetime speech at the Democratic National Convention was a repeat, in fact, of the message he had delivered earlier in the afternoon to his crestfallen delegates, who were clinging to the hope that the revolution that they had started together would not go down in flames, let alone with their leader as the arsonist. So we'll be talking about Bernie Sanders' retooled vision today and what we are learning. None of what has happened so far. You see, this is the beauty of clarity. When you arrive at a point of clarity about a thing, very little will surprise you because you understand systems, you understand how they work, you understand the roles that people have to play in order for the system to prevail. And the system is a scientifically devised method of self-preservation, essentially, designed specifically to resist change. And here you have the anomaly of a person professing change, wanting change, talking about the virtues of change, changing the very system under whose aegis he was running, the Democratic Party. I told you, systems don't like change too much. They don't, it's not a thing that they encourage. They're designed not to change. So we were talking about Bernie Sanders since September last year, predicting, and I don't mean to just pat ourselves on the back here, but there's nothing that has happened so far that is surprising. We hit the analysis, we hit that nail on the head a long time ago. We saw it coming. But still, it is a very sad thing indeed that it plays itself out this way. And you ask the question, I mean, when does it stop? The answer is it doesn't. because here too, as we'll discover today, we're looking to the wrong people to stop it. And they're not going to stop it. They're part of the system, fully enmeshed in it. They're not going to extricate themselves from it. They are now beneficiaries of the system. They've been co-opted. If any change is to happen, the people with the power to do it must do that themselves. But it's not a bad time for them to adopt this song by the Manhattans as a kind of psychological orientation. Kiss and say goodbye. We're out of here. Well, what did Bernie say to his delegates and supporters yesterday afternoon? Let's take a listen. We'll come back and put it into context, and we'll move on from there. But here's an excerpt, a pretty sizable chunk of what he said, having to do with the question he himself raises. Where do we go from here? Obviously, he raised the question because that was what was on everybody's mind. What do we do now? Where do we go from here? Anticipating that, and of course, he has now taken on the full-throated job of being the flack for Hillary Clinton, to bring his 13 million votes into the Democratic vote fold as a way of stymieing any possible rise to victory by Donald Trump. And tonight, it gets even worse. Bernie Sanders, as we understand it, Bernie Sanders would be the one to introduce the motion to officially crown Hillary Clinton Queen of the Democrats and give her the nomination tonight. And it would be none other than the person who has every reason to fight her to the last minute. He has been totally bought, and he has completely capitulated. There is no magic surprise waiting. There is no very complex and complicated turn of events. This is the way it is. So let's listen to Bernie addressing his delegation yesterday afternoon ahead of his primetime speech. And here he is raising and answering the question himself. Where do we go from here?
Now is where do we go from here? How do we build on our successes? How do we continue the political revolution? Number one, in my view, and this is not easy stuff given the nature of corporate media in America, but number one, we have got to be strong and consistent in making it clear that what we want to achieve is nothing less than the transformation of American society. That means ending the 40-year decline of the American middle class and creating an economy that works for all of us, not just the 1%. That means ending the immoral and grotesque level of income and wealth inequality in this country today. It is wrong, it is not sustainable when the top one-tenth of 1% owns as much wealth as the bottom 90%. We will change that. In the midst of massive income and wealth inequality, yes, the wealthy and large corporations will start paying their fair share of taxes. When millions of our brothers and sisters here in Philadelphia and Vermont and all over this country are working for starvation wages, yes, we will raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Whether it is Flint, Michigan, or hundreds of other communities around this country, we will rebuild our crumbling infrastructure and create millions of decent-paying jobs. Yes, we will end our disastrous trade policies, including the TPP.
The Guide Dog Foundation and
trade policies, including the TPP. And starting today, we are going to do everything we can to make sure that TPP does not come to the floor of Congress during the lame duck session. We will proudly continue the fight for a single-payer Medicare for All healthcare system. Healthcare is a right for all people. We understand what Donald Trump does not understand. Climate change is real, and it is already doing devastating harm to this planet. Yes, we are going to transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy. Yes, we are going to reform a broken criminal justice system. We want our young people at decent jobs or in school, not rotting in jail cells. And yes, we are going to achieve comprehensive immigration reform and a path towards citizenship. Those are some of the ideas that we must continue to fight for every single day. Secondly, immediately, right now, we have got to defeat Donald Trump. And we have got to elect Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine. Brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, this is the real world that we live in. Trump is a bully and a demagogue. Trump has made bigotry and hatred the cornerstone of his campaign. Throughout this campaign, he has insulted Mexicans and Latinos. He has insulted Muslims. He has insulted women and African Americans. Trump does not respect the Constitution of the United States or civil liberties. That is not just my opinion. That is what many conservative Republicans believe. Trump is a danger for the future of our country and must be defeated. And I intend to do everything I can to see that he is defeated. Further, it seems to me that if we are going to turn this country around and defeat right-wing extremism, we need to build a movement that is prepared to fight at every level of government, from the school board to the city councils to county commissioners to the United States Senate. My hope is that our revolution will be supporting at least 100 candidates all across this country. And by the way, as all of you know, real politics is not necessarily sexy. Knocking on doors, talking to people, handing out leaflets, sending out emails. But that is what we need to do. This campaign for me personally has obviously been an extraordinary and unbelievable experience. Of what has made it so extraordinary is that coming from a small state, I have had the opportunity to visit 46 states throughout this country and many of you personally. And what I want to say, and I want everybody to appreciate this, there are extraordinarily wonderful and beautiful people all over this country. I have met people in every state, young people, working people, old people, people from every race and every religion, who have hope in their eyes and are prepared to come together to transform our country. This campaign has been a fantastic beginning, and from today onward, we continue the fight. Thank you all.
I switched to Geico.
All right. As you can tell, It didn't go very well for Bernie Sanders talking to his people yesterday, his delegates and his supporters. You heard the hooting and hollering when it came to mention of Hillary Clinton. Because, in fact, that's not what they're there for. They're looking to their leader to tell them what's ahead. And one expects that if, in fact, they're in this together, they would know. They wouldn't have to wait till the Democratic Party National Convention to be told in a fast, quickly called meeting, this is where we're going. And then it really isn't a plan as much as the reiteration of things already established. He has not advanced any new thoughts here. And worse, he unilaterally absolves Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party for the multitude of sins committed against his revolution, if you want to put it that way, the revolution and the quest for an entirely different approach to politics, including rampant voter fraud all across the states, where, especially where Hillary, quote, won, unquote, we have heard the stories about the deliberately sabotaged machines. We have testimony of people who say that their names were just mysteriously scrubbed from the voting lists. We know that California alone did not certify the outcome of the primary there until just about 2 weeks ago. And that was a matter involving 2 million votes. So we're talking about massive voter fraud here. And on his own, by his own will, his own volition, Bernie Sanders just decided he would absolve all of these crimes against his and his revolution, his personal political quest and the revolution for the sake of party unity. You tell me, this thing is sounding like, well, maybe we need a kind of check here. Is Bernie Sanders losing his mind? And then another part of what I'll be talking about is the infantilizing. Suddenly, these people who were so sophisticated to read the political landscape so clearly and to select for themselves another way to go. And that other way to go was to support Bernie Sanders over all of the other candidates out there. They were sophisticated enough to do that, to make that analysis. But suddenly, everybody's talking to them like they're children and they can't make up their minds. They don't know what to think. Even Michelle Obama, last night, speaking to the nation about a woman we know is less than ethical, and asking, who do you want as a role model for your children? This is how insane it has gotten. Hillary, here is Michelle Obama. We know they couldn't stand each other. We know Barack Obama came in for some stinging criticism when he was a contender. And now he's president. And now Hillary Clinton is just madly in love with him. And Michelle Obama, and everybody suddenly develops an intentional ignorance about the recent past. And here's Michelle Obama telling people, you should want Hillary Clinton for president because she would make an excellent role model for your children. I don't even understand, I don't even know right now which is the best word to select to describe that level of insanity. and contempt for people's intelligence. But Bernie Sanders has switched all the way. The people are hoping that there was some slight possibility that they could get some movement away from the Democratic Party. There's going to be no movement from the Democratic Party. Your leader is the arsonist in chief. He has set fire to your revolution, and he is inviting you to watch it burn, to feel the burn. This is madness, and it's particularly maddening because, frankly, Hillary Clinton doesn't have the power. Bernie Sanders doesn't have the power. It's the people who have the power, and they don't understand that. They can turn everything right on its head right now if they decided that, in fact, we have the power. They could begin a campaign instantly called Kiss and Say Goodbye. We're out of here. And hello, Green Party, hello, any other party, but we are out. Republicly repudiate Bernie Sanders. That's a piece of work they must do. They must publicly repudiate him for the treachery, if only to break the cycle. Because we've watched so-called progressive leaders do this kind of nonsense, and one of them will appear within the week, the 4 days of this convention, Jesse Jackson, who still runs around with the tag of president of the Rainbow Coalition. There is no such thing. It does not exist. But it exists, and everybody pretends it exists, because it gives him legitimacy, a convenient legitimacy, to insert himself where he has absolutely no authority, to basically transact business in the name of some fictionalized constituency. He doesn't represent anybody but himself. Bernie Sanders committed a supreme act of treachery, and it must not be forgiven. The people still have the power. They are the ones with the power. He does not have any power. 13 million people already comprise a substantial movement, and the power is theirs, not his. They consigned it to him. He's acting like he owns it. And they are following his tune. Quite the opposite. They have to do this work as part of the political work of cleansing this progressive world of this kind of debauchery and treachery. It has to go on record at some point that people have standards, and they will not allow themselves to be taken advantage of, no matter how progressive you say you are. Call you out and publicly cancel your policy. Publicly do it. We no longer recognize Bernie Sanders. He is not the leader of this revolution, and we are moving on without him. That's all. But you must do it. If you want to retain any credibility whatsoever, remove all doubt, disassociate yourself, because the man has betrayed you. There's no question about it. And you start by setting the record straight. Jesse Jackson got away with it, and all these years, since his runs in 1984 and 1988, he is still capitalizing on this fictional title of President of the Rainbow Coalition. What is that? Where does it exist? What is it doing that does not benefit primarily, and in some cases, exclusively, Jesse Jackson himself? Nothing Bernie Sanders said in his speech to his delegates had anything to do with explaining the quagmire he found himself in and the presumption that he had the authority, without first conferring with them and asking them what they thought he should do. He went ahead and capitulated to Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party and is leaving his movement to eat that embarrassment, that betrayal. And it's supposed to be okay. No, that's a criminal offense in politics. You got to pay for that. And in the same way that the Democratic Party had to fire Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the movement should now fire Bernie Sanders. Fire him. Publicly fire him. Be very hard, because this is a watershed moment. And you have to send a message that the betrayal of the people will simply not be tolerated. Too much went into this to launch him and these platform ideas into orbit. He is not the owner of these ideas. He's not the owner of the revolution. He's not the owner of a movement. He's a vehicle, and he's to be treated as such. If he had any respect at all, even the modicum of respect for his people, what Sanders would have done would have been to call a serious planning retreat, an urgent retreat, and lay out what the choices are, what the issues are, and what, from their perspective, he ought to do. He's just a leader. He's not the owner. He's a leader. And leadership is not something you take. Leadership is something conferred upon you. And the people who do the conferring are the ones who have the power. The people need to understand that. You can run around talking you're a leader all you want. But it is the action of the people that tells the entire story. If they recognize you as a leader, it will be known that you, in fact, are the leader. And you're recognized even, and perhaps especially, by your adversaries and your enemies as a leader, because they are not so much afraid of you, they're afraid of the consequences of messing around with you, because your people are backing you up. If Sanders were perfectly well grounded in his own constituency, there is no way that the Democratic Party and that foul Hillary Clinton could ever hope to have a discussion with him about playing a role in elevating her to the nomination and to bring his 13 million votes, which he desperately needs. All of the statistics are telling us nobody really likes this woman. They don't trust her, and for good reason. She is not to be trusted. And she cannot win with her own political base alone, despite the fact that she has all this money. She can't win. She needs the minions. And they have now roped in by proxy. By proxy. Even if they get half of Bernie's 13 million, they'll be okay. But when you look at how Hillary Clinton is situated as against Donald Trump, she's in bad shape. She has reason to worry. The nation says they can't stand either one of them. But of the two, they'll take Trump over Clinton any day. The majority says that. For good reason. She has a history of conduct, of highly questionable conduct, and is an inveterate liar. You can't trust people like that. And so we have a supposedly high caliber process. This is now the choice of the President of the United States, essentially boiling down to name calling. Well, Trump is a bully. This is the argument that Bernie Sanders, an educated man, is making to his educated base. Well, you have to vote for Hillary because Trump is a bully. That is the stupidest argument I've ever heard. You have to vote for Hillary because Trump is a bigot, and Hillary is not. Hillary is not a bully. A person who bombs the heck out of countries and causes tens of thousands of deaths, especially of women and children, that's not a bully. You're contradicting yourself all over the place. And the same contradictions that are endemic with the Clintons have now come and infected Bernie Sanders. And he still thinks that it is okay to rent his good name to a bad proposition. And other people should go along with that. Because he has these high-minded ideas. Well, look, they started out with them. And these high-minded ideas, in large measure, were crafted by the people. They are still very powerful. My hope is that they really realize this and use this absolutely critical moment right now to set the record straight with a lot of stuff. You don't get to call the shots. You get to enact those things that we call the shots on. You are the vehicle, you're not the leader. You don't own this movement. We do. You don't dare presume that we're a bunch of non-thinking lemmings. You snap your fingers just like the Democrats do, and we do exactly as you say. No, we happen to have brains. We think. And we see the evidence. You gave up the fight. You never questioned the dishonesty of this party. You never questioned the loss, the orchestrated losses, massive losses. You never asked for an investigation into voter fraud. You never asked for an investigation of the Clinton Foundation. You raised absolutely no hackles at all, making it a point of, quote, not attacking your opponent, unquote, being a gentleman, as if this has anything to do with being a gentleman. It has to do with the reality that you're fighting because you say You want an end to corrupt government. At least Trump says that. But you're still playing by the long-established Democratic Party rules and presenting credentials that say, well, I'm not like them. I'm different. I'm a democratic socialist. Everything about you is saying that you are acquirable. You can be bought. And you have been. And you need to own up to that. And even if you don't voluntarily own up to this, it's not your job. Your license for leadership is not owned by you. It is the people who own your license. And therefore, they can cancel it at any time. And that's what they need to do. They need to have a serious assessment of where things are, where they stand, where this whole so-called revolution stands, how you got to this point. They need to call an emergency summit meeting and publicly repudiate Mr. Sanders. Thank him for the energy and all the, you know, do all the things that they do. You know, like when corporate America fires its top CEO, they usually give him a dinner. See, like Roger Ailes now of Fox News. Well, he has gone down in flames over the sexual harassment, but there'll be a flurry of dinners and awards, and they will thank him for his creativity and for launching the biggest cable network on the planet and making tons and tons of money for that network. He's a marvel. He is a great guy. But main thing is he's out, bottom line. Because nobody, if the issue is money, nobody who owns an enterprise that makes money will have that jeopardized because some guy can't keep his zipper zipped. The struggle, the political struggle, is at a critical stage. Just like we talked the parallel here with Jackson, the parallel with Barack Obama, the parallel with Michael Dukakis. We have an energized constituency. And they are energized because they understand that they are on the receiving end of a lot of stuff from the system, and they don't want it anymore. It isn't working, it isn't fair, it isn't right, it isn't moral. So they want another way. And they made a consistent effort and a major investment, both in the ideas and in the proponent of the ideas, that person being the vehicle for the ideas, the contestant himself. It would behoove Mr. Sanders, of course, is not going to happen because tonight he will take on yet another more demeaning role. And make no mistake about it. This role has several layers of meaning. When he gets up there and officially nominates Hillary Clinton, it is a kind of subjugation, not just of him, but his whole movement. Look what I've done. I have made you mine. I am that good. You will bow before me. You will be my servant. See? So his act imperils the entire movement. It causes embarrassment for the entire movement. It puts the entire movement at risk of being misread and misled. They have to move fast. They have to move fast to clarify that Bernie has lost his way. that there's a cleavage. This happens in politics all the time. Right now, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, all these cleavages, people fighting each other. And they tell us it's natural. So this is natural. Your leader is behaving badly. And somebody has got to discipline him. Bring him in line. Bring him in line with the original intent of what it is you had agreed to do together. He's not the sole proprietor here. He's not the sole owner of these ideas. And he certainly did not get all of this done on his own. You have a valid stake in the outcome here, and you have to exercise your authority to safeguard the ground and the turf you have won. Otherwise, it's all over for the next round. You could forget anything about independent politics. If you do not insist on your movement having respect, if nothing else, then it's all over. Who will want to run under your banner? Who will want to take up your cause? Who will take you seriously? Who should come to you with an idea to mobilize about in the name of people? You have no integrity. Your behavior is mimicking the behavior of the system that you so despise. So you are a walking contradiction. Somebody needs to make it clear that they recognize that their leader has become compromised, but their movement isn't. That's important work they've got to do right away. Kiss and say goodbye. The Manhattans had it so right. Let's just kiss and say goodbye. The idea being, you're nice, but you're ruthless about your interests. And when somebody takes it upon him or herself to so badly compromise your interests, you gotta separate yourself from people like that. And if this movement is so important as a watershed moment in moving a series of agendas into the national and international focus and re-energizing people who have become politically dead, disinterested, if those are the consequences that you're willing to deal with, then you do nothing. But if these things loom large in your head as major impediments to progress, with or without Bernie, it happens that it's happening with Bernie now, you have to correct it now. The people failed, absolutely failed, to rein in Jesse Jackson. And he was like a self-guided missile, busy transacting stuff in his name and giving people the impression that he had a constituency out there. He has no constituency. If Jesse Jackson were to call for a protest right now, he could barely get 10 people to show up. He has no credibility to speak of. He compromised his own credibility, if it ever existed. And he co-opted a movement and allowed the movement to be co-opted and therefore destroyed. He himself, just like Sanders, was given the mission, go and destroy this movement. You are their leader. That's your job. Who will suspect the leader of being, as I said, the chief arsonist of the fire that burns up your movement? Select him. Send him out there. They chose Barack Obama. And he's still getting away with all kinds of just implausible things. We talked about police brutality here. I told you the man had, he appointed his own task force to come up with ideas for 21st century policing. One of the co-chairs of the task force was himself a police chief of Philadelphia. They gave him all the stuff in May last year. And he's now saying, well, we need to study this issue. You see what I mean? And nobody has said, well, wait a minute. We have a news conference going. Many of our recommendations have not been enacted. A full year has gone by. So this is why it is important to understand the moment. We are witnessing the disassembling of a people's movement. The key figure chosen to disassemble the movement through distraction, he's telling us that the main thing really is, in effect, to help rebuild, reconstruct the Democratic Party. That's not why people signed on to this. They don't care about whether the Democratic Party chooses to improve itself or not. They had a different vision. And this whole thing is about moving in a different way, moving away from the Democratic Party. Bernie Sanders said it very clearly. We are so proud that the things we're doing are helping to expand the Democratic Party. That wasn't the mission. The mission was to win, and you were winning. And the Democratic Party caused you not to win. And the chief proponent of that is the person that you will be nominating tonight. And you come to us, and you tell us about the revolution still being effected. You are a compromised leader, and we have no space for compromised leaders. We kiss and we say goodbye. I want to thank you for listening and allow me to kind of stretch out a little bit from time to time. It does me a world of good. I don't know if it does you any good. I'm hoping that it does. But trust me, this is a very, very, very important moment in time. Not just for the historicity of things, but because as political people, we have to read the landscape a bit more accurately to appreciate how systems work. We had clarity about Bernie Sanders since September of last year. And we talked about the startling similarities of the progress of this movement under his leadership with those movements that had come before and were systematically destroyed by the leaders and handed over to the Democratic Party as a kind of department of the party. But failing in every single instance to construct an independent way. That's, in fact, how the system worked. Co-optation and then destruction. And I want to encourage you to tell people about this wonderful program where we meet each other every day, Monday through Friday from 1 to 2, and we have great discussions here. You can reach me, of course, at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories, at gmail.com, as always. And I consider myself one of the luckiest people in the world to have the pleasure and privilege of your company, and I thank you. We'll see each other tomorrow and pick up the conversation again. Bye-bye.
Understand me, want to try. Let's just kiss and say